Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley. Sitting in and joining us shortly will be the editor, here he is, at the MMA Corner, Mr. Josh Davis and Scrap Fight Magazine. What's going on, brother?
Oh, just enjoying a beautiful day, killing time before the weekend of MMA starts. What about yourself?
Yeah, man. You know, this hot and cold weather is getting everybody sick. Pneumonia's starting to pop up. You know, here sometimes it's 65 degrees, and we jump down to 40 and 30 in the morning, so kids don't know how to dress. We're switching between heavy and light jackets, so it's a little bit intense.
You know, there's nothing worse than that, and obviously we deal with similar stuff here in Colorado. Yeah, and trying to get kids to understand, it's a very tough process.
No doubt about it. Anyway, let's get to it. I know last week we had a lot to talk about. We missed a few things. Any new news this week?
You know, nothing that superseded everything from last week, I will tell you that. I don't want to say it was a slow news week, because that's not the case, but there was nothing, nothing like, again, Connor and Nate being announced. But we did get confirmation that we will see Miesha Tate defend her title against Amanda Nunes at T200. Why is this important? Because it's not Holly Holm. And, you know, Holly Holm turned down the fight with Chris Cyborg because she thought she was going to get the fight with Miesha Tate at UFC 200. And UFC went completely a different route, leaving Holly Holm, you know, without an opponent, without a fight, without anything. So I was a little surprised, and I know a lot of other people were a little surprised that the UFC went to Amanda Nunes instead of going back with Holly Holm.
Yeah, it's a little bit interesting, you know, as that news broke, because it was like, I know she asked for the fight, but she really didn't look that great in her last fight. You know what I mean? And it's just a dynamic. Are they trying to keep these top three together, Holly and Ronda and Miesha, you know what I mean? Like, the mismatch game that they're playing is just interesting, you know. So,
you know, it's a matchmaking that they're doing right now in the women's bantamweight division is definitely interesting, because you have Kat Zingano facing Juliana Pena. You know, Kat hasn't fought since her loss to Ronda, but she's still on another level than Juliana. To me, that fight didn't make any sense. You easily could have done, you know, even though she's coming off the loss, you easily could have done Kat and Miesha. You know, that fight would make more sense than Miesha and Amanda Nunes, and then you could have Amanda and Juliana going at it. Or, again, you know, stick Holly Holm in there against Kat. But you can't, in my opinion, you can't shelter the fight. At some point, you know, they are all going to have to fight each other, and we do know that Ronda's going to be coming back at the very latest, November of this year, she will be fighting. So when you throw her back in the mix, you can't shelter these women from fighting each other. They're going to have to fight each other. And so I'm not exactly sure what the UFC's thought process on this one was.
Well, you look, maybe. Maybe, you know, they have other things going on. Like you said, last week. Maybe they have buyers on the table and they don't want to get themselves past, you know, where they are and what they're doing, and they're just playing the shallow short game right now, you know, to make the last big dent that they could make as these owners, man, and just pass it on.
And, you know, when you think about the sale of the UFC, and everyone, well, you want the biggest fight at UFC 200, this, that, and the other. Well, you do from a fan perspective, but you don't from a business perspective, because as you're trying to sell this business, you don't want to crush three of your top contenders, because that makes your product less valuable. Now, you don't have fights that you would have been able to build otherwise, and that makes it so, you know, hey, a prospective buyer doesn't necessarily want to buy it. So, no, I if they are, you know, selling it, which I think they are, I think that's really what's going on, it makes perfect sense. Now, if they're not, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, look, we'll just have to see. You know, they know a lot more than we know as we're sitting here talking about this today. And, you know, we may not understand this move today, but there may be, like I said, things that have not been exposed that that they know. So we'll see. Look, I'm glad Emmanuel Nunez is in the mix. I really am. But she only had her first, three-round full fight. And like I said, she really didn't look that great. She looked like she struggled, you know. And if she was up really with a competent opponent, not somebody making their UFC debut, you know, and had a little bit more cardio, do more effective striking, I think that fight would have gone a little bit differently.
You know, at the show, fans, you know, she's awesome. But her last fight, come on, she looked terrible. And if, like you said, if she was against a real conditioned opponent, no, she would not have been coming out of that third round. So, you know, but again, the UFC, we've seen them do crazier things. You know, I'm not opposed to any of these fights, to be honest. I do think they are intriguing. Juliana and Kat could be a hell of a brawl. And, you know, Tate and Nunez, if Nunez comes to fight, you know, she can definitely make it a scrap. So it's not that these fights will be unexciting. It's just, again, if I was Joe Silva, that's not what I would have been putting on the table.
Right. All right. Past that, you know, we have a UFC event this weekend and next weekend. What other events are we looking at really quick before we move on to anything else?
This weekend, nothing. You know, we have RFA 37 next weekend. It's Friday night, and then obviously UFC on Fox is Saturday night. So we got a lot of stuff coming up, but no, I think
we actually have fight night, Rafael Dos Anjos on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, my time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's this weekend.
That's really,
that's the only thing we have going on this weekend. And then next weekend is on Fox, is RFA and then the Fox. But this weekend, the only thing we have is Dos Anjos and Big Ben Rothwell, which I actually think is going to be a solid fight. I've been looking at this card, and it's not, you know, it's not a bad card. I like this card. I think, again, for what the UFC is doing, I think it's a solid card.
No doubt about it. Let me ask you really quick.
Is it a pay-per-view card? No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that would be a poor pay-per-view card if I'm just being honest. But let me ask you really quick some other news about Dada 5000. We really didn't know how serious it was until they basically came out. You know, they're suggesting that he had, two complete heart fails or heart attacks. How serious was it for Dada?
This is no exaggeration. This is no hype or anything like this. We almost suffered his death in the octagon. And as much as I have grown to respect Dafir Dada 5000 Harris for what he did on that night, his corner disgusts me. The ringside doctors disgust me, because those are the people should have been picking up on the fact that he's not coherent, that he's not in condition to fight, that he has just suffered a massive heart attack, and when you look in his eyes, he's not there. That's your responsibility to step in and make sure that your boy's safe. And nobody did that for him. And because of that, I am disgusted. Now, the heart, the toughness, I mean, just to call it like it is, the testicular fortitude that Dada 5000 showed to continue to compete. Now, granted, it wasn't a great fight. Let's not blow smoke. But to be in there, giving it his all, doing everything he was trying to do, yeah, I have the utmost respect for that man because, you know, he almost died. He literally almost died. And he did that for the fans so people could see this fight.
No doubt about it. Now, let me ask you another question really quick. You may not know the answer, and that's just simply because this news is shocking. I know sometimes people want to downplay a little bit simply for everything. You know, this guy is still a professional fighter. He wants to come back to the sport. You know, doesn't want to have his name tarnished or anything like that. But do you think it was just a pure adrenaline that was keeping him alive and in that fight? Because a man that size, you know, he lost a lot of weight to come down to that size and then have to be able to fight. And you're right. He looked loopy. His eyes looked very wide and wildly, so to speak. You know, he couldn't throw punches properly. Everything was off with him. Fans, I have to apologize. I took it directly to conditioning. I said it on the show. I'm disappointed at the way that this guy came into the fight, this, that, and the third. This was a fight that he was anticipating. And just goes to show, I don't know everything. And, you know, I was shocked by the news, how it played down. But, you know, back to that question, has their corner ever given it up that, you know, maybe it was the adrenaline that was keeping him alive during this fight?
His, you know, like his actual corner hasn't said that, but people within his camp and people that were close to him absolutely said it was, you know, adrenaline. And the fact that while Dada knew that his heart wasn't right, that things weren't right within his body, within everything that was going on, he didn't make the mental connection that he was having a heart attack. And why is that important? Because if you don't realize you're having a heart attack, you can fight through it. Once you realize that you're having a heart attack and then all of a sudden, boom, the panic sets in and everything else takes over. He never experienced that. So, again, his adrenaline was able to keep him going. And if you remember the end of the fight, he was trying. He was still trying to compete. He was trying to grab Kimbo. He just couldn't hold his arms up. He couldn't do anything. Kimbo didn't land a punch that, you know, dropped him or anything. He just moved out of the way, and Dada, being so big, couldn't keep himself up and stumbled across the ring and fell down. And they stopped the fight.
Right.
But it's not like Kimbo
right.
hit him with a shot to put him down. It was just at that point, his big body said no more.
Now, are there going to be any new testing procedures? Do you know this? Are there going to be any new testing procedures, you know, for these type symptoms or fighters, or is this a unique situation strictly for him?
Well, first off, I don't ever want to say anything bad about Bellator because we love them. They're our buddies. But they did this fight in Texas for a specific reason, and that's because they knew the commission laws. They are the weakest, softest out of any commission. So testing positive in Texas is a 90 suspension. That's it. $2,500 fine. That's nothing. There's no other commission in the country that gives you that soft of a suspension. Bellator did this fight with both Ken Shamrock and Kimbo Slice, two people who have tested positive for steroids in the past. They did this fight in Texas knowing that that was probably going to happen again. So, you know, I think had they done it someplace else, like, okay, had this fight been going on in Pennsylvania, it never would have happened because CERB, the commission up there, that guy is so on top of stuff that his doctors would have definitely found heart problems with Dada, and they wouldn't have let him compete.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know that additional testing was the issue. I think it was just, unfortunately for Dada, he fought in the wrong state. You know, he, even here in Colorado, they would have caught that stuff.
Yeah.
And
look,
wouldn't have let it go
on. We avoided a serious tragedy here. You know, a lot of people are, I've been reading, and a lot of people are back and forth, all this, that, or that, you know, saying a lot of different things that are surprising to me. But the truth of the matter is we truly avoided a tragedy. Because if Dada would have died in that ring, you know, that basically would have changed the momentum of mixed martial arts. You know,
oh, my God,
I
it would have crushed it.
I honestly believe we wouldn't have MMA in New York, you know, because of it. Everybody, we told you, you know what I mean? And a lot of other states would have put a lot of other things in place for mixed martial arts that would have made the sport basically impossible to hold in their state. You know what I mean? The insurance liabilities, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It would have been the end of the sport. It would have sent it back to UFC 1. Where everything is underground pay-per-view, and here's why: because we would have had a death on essentially national TV. Yes, Spike is cable, but it's basic cable. I mean, it's as close to being national TV as you can get. And so, to have something like that happen, you know, and not only that, it was Bellator's biggest ratings in the history of their company. They had over 2.4 million people watching it. It would have crushed the sport if he would have died.
Yeah, you know, and we're on a 24-hour news media cycle now, so everybody would have picked this up. Everybody, even nationally, Spanish-speaking channels, internationally, everybody would have picked this up. You know, so it definitely would have crushed the sport. Would have crushed the sport.
And again, while we're talking about it, I want to wish, you know, Dada 5000 the continued speedy recovery and. You know, again, I wasn't a fan of his beforehand. I saw the documentary, which I thought was awesome, which gave me a newfound respect for him. But I am a fan of his now. I, you know, for him to go through what he did and do it for the fans, because essentially that's why he did it. He could have not came out at any point in time, but he chose to continue to come out and do his best. I have the utmost respect for him. So, again, speedy recovery to you. And here's one thing that I'm baffled that people aren't talking about. Kimbo Slice failed a drug test. Not for TRT, not for HGH or any of these other, we'll just call them supplements that they can get approved by certain commissions. He flat out was using straight up old school syringe steroids and almost killed a man. Is he not criminally liable for this? Should he not face some kind of criminal charges? Yes, fighters do sign a waiver that says they release anyone from culpability. However, they're expecting that person to be fighting clean, not all hopped up on a substance that could help them kill him. And so I just throw the question out there. Should.
Well, let me ask you too. I mean, what was the commission's penalty? Had they fined them, you know?
Oh, they got
for this?
They each got 90 day suspensions and $2,500 fines.
Okay. Who? Kimbo and who else?
Ken Shamrock.
Okay. So they both popped positive in this last fight that they had.
Yeah.
See, nobody's really talking about that at all.
No, they're just trying to – everyone's just trying to sweep it under the rug like these things didn't happen. They did. Not only did they happen, but somebody almost died as a result of it. And you had half of your main event and co-main event test positive for flat out, like I said, 1980 style syringe steroids. The same steroids that Scott Steiner took to get himself all buff for wrestling.
He said Scott Steiner. Oh, wow, you're telling on yourself. Wow. It's not.
I know I'm old, but yeah, it was the same steroids that he did. I know I'm old.
So let me really quick though, to go back to the commission part of it. When it's like that, other commissions can pick up on suspensions. So, for instance, I know in boxing, if one commission does a suspension, another commission can pick up on a suspension as well, too. You know, are any other states picking up on this and saying, well, we're not going to license these guys, you know, in our state? Or is it just 90 days straight and we're good?
You know, it's 90 days straight and we're good. Here's the thing. Nevada will never license Ken Shamrock again. He's, tested positive for steroids at least four times that I can think of off the top of my head. They'll never license him again. But other states, you know, absolutely they will because, you know, they want the big name. So, you know, and then when you think about where Bellator throws events, most of them are Indian reservation casinos where technically commission doesn't have jurisdiction anyways. None of that really matters.
Right. Well, it's interesting, the dynamic of this whole thing, because this is going to be part of the sport. You know, from TRT to everything else, this is going to be a part of the sport. And this happens in every major sport. This is not just exclusive to fighting, okay?
No.
The guy wants to heal faster. He's going to take a cycle of something. And if, you know, if their team goes to their team doctor and this, that, and the third, and it's under doctor prescription, they can say that too. But they really knew what they were doing it for, you know. And everybody's going to look to get ahead, get that little head, play a little bit longer, kick a little bit harder, punch, you know what I mean? Longevity.
Oh,
that's all it is.
Yeah. And it's not just professional athletes that do it. Doctors all across the country do it. They write themselves prescription speed so they can stay up longer, so they can do more surgeries in the day, all that kind of stuff. Truckers are notorious for taking things so they can stay up for 48 hours at a time and make more miles. It is common human nature to put something in your body to enhance your performance, whatever it is. That's why, again, with my kit, before school every day, we eat specific foods that are designed to help speed up her brain so she's ready to go to school, to enhance her performance, enhance her learning. We do it all across the board. And so to think that it's not going on in sports, I mean, you're just kidding yourself. These guys absolutely are doing it. I'm a firm believer that a good 80% of the sport does it, and I would say 15% of them actually get caught.
Yeah, you know, it's like anything else. It's like anything else. Mixed martial arts is a little bit more hard because of everything that you go through. It's just not like boxing where maybe you just have a torn rotator cuff. There's ankle damage, knee damage. There's muscle damage in the legs. There's shoulder muscle tissue damage. There's a lot of different damage. There's neck damage from the manipulation of the neck, even when you're grappling. It's just so much. It's a complete body breakdown, if I can just be honest. From stomping on the feet, you know, people don't know. Once you break those toes like that and bust those capsules, you know, arthritis speeds up by 20 years, no matter even if you fix that stuff, you know. You got to go in from the bruising, shave the bone down. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy some of the things that they do, but this sport is just a complete body. It's war on the body completely.
Well,
you know,
and I'll take it one step further.
Hello, you still there? You cut out a little bit.
George, you got me?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Take it one step further.
All right. So, yeah, you're a kickboxer. Think about all those Muay Thai guys kicking the trees and that kind of stuff to strengthen their shins. And they start that at a very young age, so by the time they're, you know, 20, their shins are like baseball bats, essentially. And, yeah, it's completely different, the amount of, I don't
Well, look, the amount of conditioning and punishment, if I can just be honest, it's completely different. You know, those guys that do all that stuff, by the time they get 40 years old, they can barely walk because, like I said, arthritis has set in. They just basically hobble. They can't do what they can do anymore because the level of damage that they took, conditioning their bodies from the time they were young, when your body was still growing until, you know, they fought. And even the fight damage, getting kicked like that, full strength, it does something to somebody. You know, it does things to your body that you just can't recoup from, you know, you just can't recoup from. So it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. But good to know. Look, as a fan, I appreciate the sacrifice people make, man, for the sports that they love. There's no doubt about it. Boxing, kickboxing, mixed martial arts. But health and safety is also an issue, too. I've always said that. No matter if you get a broken arm when you make $500 or you're making $500,000 or $5 million, you still got to deal with that broken arm, you know. And that's the issue with combat sports. Josh, let's hold on right there and take a break, and we'll come back.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
All right, we're back really quick. We have about 3 minutes. Did we miss anything? Cut out again. Can you hear me, brother?
Hi.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
I have no idea what's going on. No, I think we hit all the major stories. The only big thing is the event this weekend. And, you know, if Big Ben Rothwell gets this victory over Junior Dos Santos, it is going to be very tough not to give this guy a title shot. I do know the UFC doesn't want to push him for a title shot, but when you look at his last, you know, his last victories, it's hard not to give it to him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, he tapped Josh Barnett. I didn't see that coming, you know. And he's been winning. He's definitely been winning.
He knocked out Overeem.
Yeah, you can't deny him. You definitely cannot deny him that he's in line for a title shot. He can throw his name right up in there and mix with everybody else. Everybody else. Cain, Stipe, Verdum, him. You know, he's right there. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So we'll see how they play that, especially with this maximizing process that they're doing. But you know, UFC now, you just don't know what you're going to get. You really don't know. I mean, some of the fights, I still look and I just shake my head. But, you know, that's why we're doing a radio show, and they're the ones making the big money. So we'll see.
Exactly. Because I have no idea how Conor's matching these cards these days. You know, I used to have a decent read on Joe Silva, but, dude, I can't read Conor at all. And so watching him match these cards up, it's killing me.
Yeah, man. We also have boxing this weekend.
Yes, we do.
Who do you have?
I think it's tough to go against Manny in this one. So, but I don't know. I'm excited. I will tell you that. Who do you have?
I have Pacquiao. Pacquiao didn't lose that last fight. I don't know what fight the refs were watching, but Pacquiao won that fight. 10 out of 10, everybody I spoke to was watch that fight. Oh, yeah, Pacquiao won that fight. Bradley didn't.
And so,
the last time they fought, Bradley didn't.
So I think it's tough to pick against Manny in this fight. I think Manny goes out and schools him like he did last time. Now, whether or not he gets the decision, who knows? But I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think Manny's going to go on. He's going to put on a clinic. It's going to be awesome. And then we have Manny Perez, who opens up that card. He is a Colorado fighter, one of my good friends, and so I'm excited to see him finally get some recognition that he deserves.
No doubt about it. All right, with that, let's call it. got a great show. 10 seconds left. Don't forget, for this or any other episodes, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the Free Sports Action Network mobile app. For the latest news and information, you can go to the MMA Corner. That's themmacorner.com. Check out the April issue of Scrap Fight Magazine with Bama on the cover, the leading MMA promotion in Europe. That's at scrapfightmag.com. I want to thank you for sitting in, brother. And everybody stay knuckled up, and we'll talk next week.